And you're tuned into the Gadget Grill, home of gadgets, games, technology, all sorts of stuff served up with salt, pepper, paprika sometimes. I'm your host, Lee Stark, and across me on the other side of the table is Gary Stark.
And a very good evening to everybody. Hello, Lee. How are you this evening?
I'm feeling a bit ill this evening, actually. I think by the end of this, you're going to come out with something more than you bargained for.
I don't know. I feel like, you know, being in the Gadget Grill, I think it must be time for a cappuccino. What have you got on the grill for tonight?
On the grill, we have some news. We're going to be talking about the body swap illusion. The body swap illusion.
The body swap illusion. Yeah, that sounds very interesting.
We'll also be talking about iBreath, you know, the new thing that will help people stop drink driving.
Oh, yes.
There's like a new useless gadget every week. So we'll talk about the iBreath. And tonight we're also talking to iPhone or not to iPhone.
That sounds very, very interesting because I happen to know that a couple of us in the studio here happen to use iPhones.
Which is nice because there's only a couple of us in the studio right now.
Exactly my point. But yeah, that'll be very interesting.
We'll even take a look at a game. We're going to look at Little Big Planet, a game that I actually showed Dad yesterday to see what he would think of it. It's getting fantastic reviews and we think you sort of might want to know about this.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It is very very good.
It is.
Okay.
This is Iron and Wine. Back with the Gadget Grill with host me, Lee Stark, and Gary Stark over there operating the deck.
Somewhere, yeah.
Over there. And we're just going to take a look at some news now, news from the tech world. We're going to look at the body swap illusion. This is an interesting piece of technology. Basically, well, actually, no, I'll let Dad explain this one because he really likes this one a lot.
Oh, yes. This one literally grabbed me when I saw this story during the week.
Oh, what a good use of words for this one. Jeez.
I'm very sorry about that. This is a story whereby you get the illusion that you're in somebody else's body. What they have done is scientists have set up video cameras on the eyes of a mannequin that faces you so that the video cameras present an image to you in what is basically 3D reality style, a 3D reality style headset. So when you are wearing that headset, you will see what the mannequin sees. And then they start prodding you in the stomach. So you see yourself being prodded in the stomach and you feel yourself being prodded in the stomach. It is giving you the illusion of seeing you how others see you and starting to react how others see you. What they then went and did was told you to look down. And as you looked down, the mannequin's head looked down. And what you saw was the body, not of you, but of the mannequin. And the effect is apparently quite unreal. You get the view of somebody else looking at you, touching you, doing things to you. You're in somebody else's skin.
Sort of like being John Malkovich in a way.
Yeah, that would be right.
Actually, the other thing I could think of is a lot like Strange Days, which was a movie that came out, was it mid to late 90s, where one of the features of it was you wore a headset, and the headset allowed you to see someone else's life, basically. It recorded what they were doing. So it's got that whole virtual reality neuropsychology sort of element to it, where you can see this. I don't know if this will benefit people, really. I mean, how many people seriously would really well? Actually, no. I'm wrong.
I could see a use for it in medical situations, perhaps.
Hmm.
You know, a doctor. They already do that sort of thing with semi-robotics with arms and so on. And this is taking it to the next step.
I think I could absolutely see someone who's disabled or handicapped using it as a means of feeling like they're moving. It would certainly bring psychological. Well, welfare. You know, it'd be a great way of appeasing appeasing the mind, basically, of anyone in that sort of situation.
or in the case of somebody having had too much to drink, of really messing with their mind.
Yeah, and speaking of too much to drink, we're going to look at the eye breath. This is a new...
Tell me about this.
The eye breath is a new extension for an iPod, because we've got so many of these, and we'll talk about these later tonight. It's designed, actually, for the iPod Touch and the iPhone. It's a little accessory that plugs into the bottom that has you breathe into it, and it will measure...
Into the bottom of...
Well, into the well, in,
oh, into the bottom of the iPhone.
Into the bottom of the iPhone. Yeah, yeah. Let's be dirty tonight, as dirty as possible. You breathe into it, and it measures your blood alcohol measurement. Now, interesting idea, but ultimately, if you've got an iPhone, or if you're going out drinking seriously, you probably shouldn't be, driving anyway in the first place. So this really doesn't have any great use. And even if it does, this isn't going to stop you from driving. If you know you're drunk, then you're probably better off leaving your keys somewhere else.
I'm constantly fascinated by people who buy these devices to measure what their breath is like. If you're going to go out drinking, arrange for a designated driver. Leave the car at home. Catch a cab. If you think you're going to be marginally drunk, you're going to be very bloody drunk by the end of the night. Just don't worry about it. Forget the car, go out and be yourself and enjoy yourself.
It's especially useful to note that this holiday season, a device called the iBreath, which at the moment is only available in America, will not save you from getting in your car. You have to have that willpower yourself. So if you're getting drunk, don't bother with the iBreath. Just take a cab. It will actually save you money.
Exactly.
And we've even got, what news do we have? The UK internet filter has had an interesting thing.
Oh, yes, that was fun this week, wasn't it? If you wanted to get onto...
Wikipedia,
yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, what happened was a child porn entry was basically found in a rock album cover art.
From about the 1970s, I believe.
I think it was 1980s, I thought.
It was fairly old, yeah. Anyway.
And basically, this stopped... pretty much everyone in the UK from accessing Wikipedia. Anyone who did access Wikipedia was recorded under the same IP address, which made edits to the universally editable encyclopedia that is Wikipedia very, very difficult to track. It's been pulled pretty quickly. I mean, they were onto this relatively fast, but it did stay in the news for a day this week at least, and it's a nice little warning sign of what could happen if we get our internet filter here.
Well, one of the interesting parts of that particular story was that the people who caused that site to be banned in Britain was a generally used censorship site. And this is a censorship site that the Australian government is proposing to use with its filtering service.
Which is coming under some fire this week.
Well, it is. But the real ramifications of that are that it's not the Australian government that is dictating what is or is not suitable for Australians to see. It is not anyone at all in Australia, but it is some foreign unknown body that is dictating what is suitable for Australians to see. I don't know about you, but I find that worse than offensive. I find it entirely repulsive, and I think it is just not at all acceptable.
Well, the easiest way to get around this is to voice your concerns to Senator Conroy. He's actually opened the whole public forum on this, even though I'm unsure that he actually has. He's got his own blog, put blog in quotation marks here. It really just seems like a propaganda site, but it's a good attempt. I have to give him at least some credit for realizing that no one likes his plan and that he's actually going to have to go on some sort of PR bounce back to realize that... no one likes his plan.
Is it a blog or a blob?
It's not really either, to be honest. It's just a random splotch on the internet.
Right. What else do you have in the news for today?
I think that's it for the news today. We've got some music coming up next.
Indeed we do. This is Armour for Love. Who's playing it, Lee?
This is Birds of Tokyo, an Australian group.
Excellent.
And it's somewhere.
It is indeed. It is.
You got
I know what the problem is.
You got the intro right. Oh. That'll work. This is Birds of Tokyo. To RDJ 88.1 in Sydney. This is The Gadget Grill with Lee Stark and Gary Stark. You can also catch this on www.gadgetgrill.com.au.
À la recherche de la légèreté sous une fine confidence.
What are you doing?
Pas en trouver la fluidité.
Jeez, you had it so spot on at the beginning.
No.
Jeez, what did you do?
I forgot to push a button.
Oh, all right. You can find us at www.gadgetgrill.com.au, where you can check out the story tonight, the story we're about to talk about, which is to iPhone or not to iPhone. Dad, stop fiddling away with the computer before you start another song.
I need to re-cue something.
All right. Well, to iPhone or not to iPhone, that is the question. And this holiday season, I can tell you just without a doubt how many iClones are coming out. An iClone is basically a competitor to the iPhone. And so tonight we're going to talk about what the pros and the cons of the iPhone are, as well as what sort of things are coming out in wake of it. And you might not realize this, but both my dad and myself, even my brother, have iPhones. A lot of people I know in journalism have iPhones. And there's a reason we do. They do have some great qualities to them.
I won't say I love my iPhone, but I'm very, very happy with it, and I'll talk more about that later. You keep talking, please, Lee.
At the moment, an iPhone isn't a great phone. In fact, I don't think it'll probably ever be a great phone for the moment. It is, however, a fantastic mobile internet device. You can check your email, surf the web, play video games. In fact, Apple have come out this week declaring now that the iPhone and the iPod Touch are actually video game consoles.
You can actually play some very interesting games on the iPhone.
And you can also play some very crap ones. There are some downsides. The iPhone, being called an iPhone, you'd expect it to have a great phone in it. Well, that's just not really the case.
How many cell phones, though, are really good phones?
Well, quite a few, actually. But this is the problem we have in the cell phone world. A lot of phones are being lost in the midst of being computers and being calculators, basically over-glorified calculators with cameras attached to them.
Well, that's actually very true. The iPhone, in fact, runs a version of Unix as its operating
Well, it actually
system.
Runs a version of Mac OS, to be honest, which is a version of Unix if you're going to take that.
Exactly.
But the easy way of explaining this to people is the iPhone itself runs a version of Mac OS, not so dissimilar from an iMac or a MacBook Pro. Basically, it's just a smaller version. Now, what you have in the iPhone for bad features are things like it's missing A2DP, which if you know what Bluetooth stereo is and you want to listen to, say, some wireless stereo headphones, you don't get that. It's even missing copy and paste, which is a feature my Nokia had 2 years ago.
That one, to me, is a very, very serious omission. The fact that if I want to send you an SMS and then I want to copy parts of that SMS to someone else, or if you send me an SMS and I want to save it somewhere else within the phone, I have to retype the damn thing. That is stupid.
Well, there's also even worse features. Everyone looks at the iPhone as being this fantastic multimedia device. I mean, yeah, it's got video and audio and a whole bunch of other stuff, but you still can't take a picture and send it to your friend. Now, I know Dad will automatically say, MMS, waste of time, but
MMS, waste of time.
There you go. But being a 3G phone, that's the one thing you'd expect out of a 3G phone. To have something for that third generation, aside for the extra bandwidth to attack the internet, is multimedia capability, and you can't do it. It seems to be missing. They actually had it missing from the first generation. They didn't add it in the second.
Waste of time.
Shut up. So, yeah, not the audience, obviously, but just, you know, Dad, shut up.
Well, the audience doesn't have any choice. They've got to sit there and listen.
Don't you say it. They are not changing the channel.
Well, actually, I was going to say to them that they can actually communicate with you via the internet.
They can. You can actually grab us on MSN at contact@gadgetgrill.com.au, where you can tell us what you think and we'll maybe voice it on the air. You can tell me I'm an idiot.
Or
you
may even ask a question and we may get to answer it if we know the answer. But I interrupted. I am terribly sorry. Please forgive me.
You did. And I'm actually sort of done with the iPhone. Like, I seriously recommend looking at one if you really want the mobile internet features. But if you want a phone, there are some great alternatives out there. And the past few weeks, we've actually been looking at a few of them.
Tell us about some of the phones we've looked at.
We
tell them about
them. Well, tell them, yeah.
Well, I know what we've looked at.
Yeah. We looked at the Samsung Omnia, which is a very business-oriented phone. It's probably my favorite, to be honest, in comparison to the iPhone. It's got a very very classy sort of looks. It's not as sleek as the iPhone.
Like me, classy.
Classy, like you. But it has things like a proper GPS, which the iPhone only has, an assisted GPS, bounces off of towers, basically. It's got a 5-megapixel camera inside of it, which is actually good in comparison to the iPhone's 2-megapixel. On the downside, it lacks things like, a great media player. It's not a fantastic music and video player, to be honest, which is a shame. It actually lags in that area. And it requires a breakout cable, which is kind of dissatisfying that you need a plug.
Could you explain what a breakout cable is, please?
A breakout cable is the technical term for an extra plug that plugs into the side of a phone, handset, or any device that is missing basically a 3.5mm input for your headphones. Now, if you look at your headphone, the end of your headphones, the little jack on the end, the plug, you see the size that is. A lot of phones don't have that. And some are getting it. Almost every Nokia has that now. HTC's have an adapter. They still believe in giving you USB. Motorola have finally...
silly.
It's very silly, especially when you consider that the phones from some of these companies don't come with converters for you. You have to scour eBay for some cheap grade USB converter, which ends up sounding bad anyway.
Very, very bad. That is, to me, that is just... I'm not sure whether it's bad design or whether it's deliberate bad design, but it's certainly not thinking in terms of what is going to work for the person who is going to buy this machine from me. And that, to me, is just arrogance and selfishness, and the manufacturer should be shot in the foot.
I wouldn't say that. That's pretty mean. I mean, have you been shot in the foot before? That doesn't look comfy at all.
I do it all the time.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. Some of the other things you might want to check out, I've got an article on gadgetgrill.com.au for you to read, which is, what is it, 4 pages long, roughly? Roughly?
Well, how long is it?
How long is this? 2,700 words, basically. So there's a lot of stuff there. If you're looking for research for buying an iPhone or an iClone for someone this holiday season, there's a ton there for you to go through. Some of the other things I recommend, a good beginner's phone is the Motorola Rocker E8. It's just a surprisingly unusual phone just from what its design is.
I remember when you brought this one home and we were quite impressed at the sound quality that came out of this, as I recall.
It's basically a $400, I think that's
iPod.
What it is. Yeah, it's an iPod but an iPhone for people who don't want to spend a lot on it. And what's so cool about it is it actually has two screens in it. And you don't realize it when you look at it, but the buttons have been replaced with a touchscreen, a very low-grade touchscreen, and a technology called haptic feedback. Now, you're going to see more of haptic feedback over the next year or two.
Let's do a quick rundown of what haptic feedback is for the listener.
For the listener, right. Haptic feedback is a way of replacing buttons. Now, one of the problems people have with touchscreens is a lot of times they don't get used to the fact that you're not actually pushing anything in. There's no tactile feedback. So to get around this, manufacturers have come up with a way where you push the screen and a little bit vibrates underneath to emulate the feeling of the tactile feedback buttons give you. Now, the E8, the Motorola, gives you actually a really solid little push back when you push its buttons in. But to make it even better, you've got an extra screen there, just like your regular candy bar phone. When you switch into a music mode, your buttons change into a whole playback system. You get play and volume and all sorts of things like that. So it's a lot like carrying around your own customizable remote control that plays music and lets you answer phone calls.
Absolutely correct. The design of that phone, in the way that they've adapted the interface to work within its context, within the different contexts, is very good. On the one hand, you get phone buttons. On the other hand, you get music player buttons. In both cases, neither of them or none of them are actually real buttons, but they give you a sensation of feedback.
And you get the 3.5mm jack on that one, so you can plug your headphones just right into it.
Good.
But it's on the downside, it's slow and it doesn't support 3G, but it's a great beginner's sort of iPhone if you're after something without wanting to spend...
A handy one to give to the kids.
Yeah, if you're going to spend, around $400 or $500 on your kids, I mean, that's not a bad option, especially since it'll no doubt be a lot less expensive in the next week or two. I mean, when Christmas prices start to hit, there are There are a lot of great options out there. I don't recommend the BlackBerry Storm at the moment. We've been playing it.
Do you want to talk about that right now?
Yeah.
Because I think that in terms of how well designed the haptic feedback is on the Motorola, it's a rather interesting contrast between that and the Storm.
We'll talk about it briefly. I don't want to sound overwhelmingly negative, but this phone left me with a really bad impression, basically on my hands, feet, tongues. Tongues. I have two. It left me with...
Man speaks with forked tongue.
It left me with a bad impression pretty much the entire way. It's a shame because BlackBerry produced some really fantastic devices. This is not one of them. The BlackBerry Storm is BlackBerry's new touchscreen phone that's slated to hit... I think it was hit last week, to be honest. And it uses a very unusual way of adopting a touchscreen. BlackBerry had to be different this time around. So they use a touchscreen for navigation. You basically put your finger on and the touchscreen works out where you're hitting, just like a touchscreen. But to actually hit something, you have to push the screen in, which means the entire screen, that giant piece of glass that sits on the, or plastic, I think in this case, that sits on top of the, it'd be glass, wouldn't it? That sits on top of the handset actually requires to be pushed in. And that'll tell you, well, he won't, because I will tell you, that...
he won't let me.
Yeah, when you're sitting on the train and you're typing a message, pushing a piece of glass several times when you're trying to type a message, and you think about how many times you have to hit a screen in any keyboard touchscreen situation, just how many times you're punching a letter, that really does work your fingers and thumbs to a point where you just don't want to go near the handset ever again.
He came home with his fingers worked to the bone. When he got that, I've actually heard it described as the keys move away from you as you're trying to touch them, and not just sort of running away from you. They sort of jump all over the screen as you're doing it, so that when you push a button here, you find that you actually push the button next to it rather than the button that you wanted, and that's not good design and not good implementation.
I think I know what you mean. I actually found the targeting, the calibration of the screen a bit off several microns.
A lot of people have said
that. And you couldn't calibrate it, which was the weirdest thing. Every touchscreen device, basically, can be calibrated, even the Nintendo DS. Not this for some reason. BlackBerry chose to make a $1,200 device without calibration, without Wi-Fi, that wasn't very fast, had a lot of bugs in it, and... It's just, like, seriously, look at a whole bunch of other things. I was very... You might like this. You might. But then again, you might also like the BlackBerry Bold or the Samsung Omnia.
Okay, bottom line, $1,200. Would you buy a BlackBerry Storm?
No, I'd probably look at either the iPhone, the Omnia, the Renoir. There's a whole bunch of them. Like, yeah, just really look around. The iPhone is not perfect. But it's also a great device. It also will waste a lot of money on your phone bill and your app store bill and a whole bunch of other things. But there are great options out there. They all have positives and negatives, but that's the downside of the business we're in.
Indeed. I'm going to make one final comment on the iPhone.
Oh, you go and do that, yeah.
Yeah, and that is that I've had mine for something in excess of 6 months now. It's an earlier iPhone, not the current model one. But
second generation with the aluminium alloy on the back. Break it quite as much.
That is correct. And having had mine for this length of period, Lee will tell you that I have a very high rate of dissatisfaction with the gadgets that I buy. I get bored with things very quickly.
That's true.
And after 6-7 months with the iPhone, the level of satisfaction that I have with this device is probably still about as high as it was when I first got the device. And that says something to me about how well the iPhone actually achieves what I consider its goals to be. It is a very satisfactory device to use. Everybody to whom I've recommended the purchase of one seems to have been satisfied with it.
That said, we're not saying you should go and buy one.
Absolutely.
What we're saying is you should go and try one. And if it does what you want, then that's great. And you know, and that it might be for you. However, don't be persuaded or mesmerized by the Apple hype. They're nowhere near as good as what Apple would love to tell you they are.
Yeah, the hype is...
The hype is typical Apple hype.
The hype is hype. It is to be ignored.
Yeah, we'll talk about the new MacBooks one of these days. These are fantastic devices that are problematic when you have to get them repaired.
As well we should.
But right now we've got some music. I can't pronounce it. San Severino. I'm playing it because my girlfriend is actually heading to Paris right now. I spoke to her right before we went on air. She's heading to Paris right now. So I figured we'd play something French.
That's a very good idea. Isn't what it? Have we got that is French?
San Severino. You know, you've actually heard about 4 seconds of it.
Exactement.
Exactement.
À la recherche de la légèreté sous une fine pluie dense et tiède.
Jazz. It's not for everybody. It's better than that. Whether your taste is trad, blues, straight ahead, hard bop, bebop, New Orleans funk, or Afro-Cuban, we play it for you. Every weekday, 11 till 1. Here on Radio 2 RDJ FM 88.1 or on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com.
RDJ, it's the Gadget Grill, and you're going to check out a game with us. It's host Lee Stark here with Gary Stark on the other side, making sure things are ready so you can hear a bit of the soundtrack of the game we're looking at. We're looking at Little Big Planet tonight, a game for the Sony PlayStation 3. It's a very unusual game, a game that basically explores people's imaginations. The entire game works around you as a storybook character known as Sackboy. You're made out of yarn, and you can dress yourself up with stickers and colours and all sorts of strange things. And while the game itself actually has a story, the story is only a way for you to get more objects and wallpapers, so you can actually go online and make your own scenes with the rest of the world. It's really one of these unusual games that encourages users, like yourself and myself, to go in there and create worlds upon worlds so everyone else can play with. And it's not just a hard way of doing it. You basically play God in this world.
It's Lee showed this to me yesterday, and I was most enthralled. It had a bit of a feel of, in terms of the way that the dialogue was done, it had a bit of a feel of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. But
Stephen Fry narrates it.
Stephen Fry narrates it, but Stephen Fry doesn't do the narration on Hitchhiker's Guide, but I cannot remember for the life of me who does. Peter.
Go on.
But anyway, the game itself, the style of it was very creative, with cardboard cutouts there that you're running through, and the little sack man and the creation.
Sack boy.
The creation of all sorts of things that you can do. It was just very, very clever, very, very sweet, very cute, but not cute to the point of making you sick of how sweet it was. It was just that they managed to get the balance of it just right. It was a lot of fun.
And it's important to know that anyone can really play this game. There's motion control so you can move your sack character. There are online levels. Everyone's creating stuff for this, so you'll never run out of games to play. And when you actually feel like you've run out of games to play, grab your kids, grab an extra controller, and start making more worlds. It's one of those really beautiful customization games where you just really can't get bored of. And as an interesting point, I have a feeling most game reviewers like myself will end up giving this game of the year. Not to give it away, but if you search Metacritic, which is a review site as game reviews, movie reviews, music reviews, this game has 100 on almost every score. The lowest score this game has gotten is an 80. That is remarkable.
What exactly does that mean, though?
That basically means everyone loves this game. It's impossible to hate this game. You must be psychotic to hate this game. Physically psychotic to hate this game.
I can believe that. The levels seem to be relatively easy to get through. You could get through them in a matter of a few minutes, so there wasn't too much of a frustration factor, which is important.
No, and it's pretty easy. It's fun. It's a simple side-scroller, but with a lot of customization to it. It is a lot of fun. It's available for the PlayStation 3 now. Only the PlayStation 3. This will probably make me buy one, to be honest.
The game or the PlayStation 3?
Well, this will make me buy the PlayStation 3, since I actually don't have one myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my reason.
I have no idea what games this boy has in his bedroom. I have no idea what he actually has in his bedroom, and that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. What have we got up next?
We now have Christian McBride.
Oh, I love this guy.
Tell us about the song, please.
Christian McBride. This is a song with... I actually don't know the name of the song off the top of my head. What is it?
Philadelphia...
It's from the Philadelphia Experiment CD, so I can tell you that much.
Okay. Philadelphia FRE. That's all I can see on the screen.
Philadelphia Freedom, then.
Philadelphia Freedom. That was done by... Ooh.
Just play it and we'll tell you who it's done by. This is Christian McBride with Philadelphia Freedom.
Okay. Check this out.
You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
I think I saw that shed on the front yard today, Dad.
You would have seen it on the way into the studio today, just out there in the park outside.
I think it's a bit like a TARDIS. It appears in a different place every week.
Not far from the truth.
Different time and place.
Not very far from the truth.
We got a question.
We got a question from a listener.
And we got a question. It's Jeff from Oceanside. Didn't we have a Jeff from somewhere last week?
It was Jeff from Freshwater last week, I believe.
Lots of Jeffs out there listening to the show. Jeff,
popular name.
It is a popular name. Jeff from Oceanside asks, should he buy a laptop from a supermarket or not? You know,
should he buy?
Because while you're buying your milk and your apples and your veggies, you can always buy a laptop.
Okay, let's stop right there for a moment because the advice that we gave last week when we were talking about cameras was that we should buy a camera.
From a company that makes cameras.
From a camera that makes cameras.
From a camera that makes cameras.
From a company that makes cameras.
Yeah.
What did I say?
I think you said from a camera that makes cameras.
Pay attention, Gary.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Same reasoning, you probably should not buy a computer from a supermarket. That said, there are some pretty cool supermarkets out there. Like Walmarts in America have some great brands at them. You can find some good compacts and occasionally some good in-house brands. They're not so bad.
No.
So you can get lucky. I just wouldn't put a whole lot of weight actually in that sort of purchase. I really wouldn't want to sit there and say, "Hey, I got this really quality computer from my local whatever."
Are you suggesting that it would be like the bags that you get at the supermarket? You put in a bottle of milk, the bag breaks and the milk falls over the ground, all over your shoes, all over your trousers, and you got to get them dry cleaned.
Look, I wouldn't want to see you with egg all over your face, but it might not be the best option. It could be a great option. You could get really lucky. I mean, sometimes there are some great deals at your local, but maybe not with a 17-inch computer.
No.
Next week.
Next week, what have you got on the agenda for next week, please,
Lee? Next week, we're actually going to be looking at video games. People who, don't want to buy video games for their kids, who have kind of not ventured out to an EB or to a game or some other place, we're going to be looking at ways that you can actually stay indoors and get your kids games. It's a real cool way. It's actually taken a few years for this sort of thing to take off, and it's not just for your PC, it's for your PlayStation, your Xbox, everything. So we're going to be looking at things like that. Ways so you can find your kids a present in the last few day lead up to Christmas, and, still...
Christmas, that's...
That's that thing that's...
That's what, 10 days away now, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. We're Jewish, aren't we?
I am, and your mother is, so that means...
That means I probably am, so yeah.
So what are we getting for Hanukkah?
Well, we're going to be putting on a show. We're giving the gift of knowledge to people. So that's coming up on next week's show. There'll be news, and there'll probably be another game review of some sort, which makes sense. It might be a camera review or something, or a phone review. Who knows? Nevertheless, that's coming up next week. Thanks for tuning into the Gadget Grill. Hit www.gadgetgrill.com.au for more information on what we've spoke about tonight.
And to take us out, we have John Mayer.
With Belief.
Belief.
Have a good weekend, or have a good week, everybody.
Have a good week. We'll see you next time.
See ya.